Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio, and you're listening to, and thank you for listening, to AM 1160, Hope for Your Life Radio. And you heard me just say AM 1160. There's a pattern there. Here's how you can reach me. 630-338-1160. How you find me on the web? 1160mortgage.com. I hope you look me up, and I hope if you're in the need of a mortgage or you know somebody who is, please reach out to me. I'd love to help. Today, what we're going to talk about is refinancing, and we're coming into 2019, and rates are up. So most of you out there might have already refinanced. If you have not, and your rate is in the 6, 7, 8 range, you had a modification or something like that, let me know. I'd love to help. If you have an FHA loan or a VA loan with a higher rate, those are really easy to refinance. But a lot of the calls that I get right now are people that hate what they call PMI, private mortgage insurance. Okay, so that's what I'm going to talk about right now. So I hope if you're listening, if you have PMI, or that's a word that you have heard, or you might know somebody, or just educate yourself, because you might have a coworker, a friend, one of your, a child, somebody who has PMI, you can kind of talk them off the ledge. Because a lot of times when people do call, they're like, I hate PMI, I won't take PMI, I hate, and everything bad about it. Let me explain. I'm going to give you the Google, or I think it's Wikipedia's version of what PMI is. And then we're going to start talking about it. The show isn't just about PMI. We're going to talk about, does it make sense to refinance? What does Dave Ramsey say about refinancing? What's David Ramsey say about, your mortgages, and should you pay off credit cards with your mortgage and things? I have agreeance with a lot of the teachings that he has, and I have a lot of, I won't say issues, but I think a lot of the things he teaches are good for those if you fit. I'll just go out there. If you fit in a certain category, meaning, a lot of his teachings are, pay yourself first and then pay this and then pay down this and pay that and this and that. Wonder if you're just scraping by and you can't do all of those things. So I'm going to have some answers for you on how we can maybe restructure some things for you to not only save you money, pay off your mortgage quicker, and maybe even set up a reserve. So stay tuned for that. So the Wikipedia version of PMI. Basically, PMI is private mortgage insurance, also called PMI, is a type of mortgage insurance you might be required to pay if you have a conventional loan that's also on FHA loans. I'm throwing that in there. Like other kinds of mortgage insurance, PMI protects the lender, not you, if you stop making payments on your loan. So what happens is if you default on your loan, the PMI insurance, basically it's an insurance policy that the lender has on the loan. PMI is, it protects the lender in case you default. So let's say you stop paying. What will happen is the lender will foreclose on you. You owe $200,000. They sell the house for $150,000. The PMI company will then come in and pay the mortgage company to kind of make them solvent on that loan. They can, however, still go back to you and try to pick up the deficiency balance. And that's for a whole nother show. So that's PMI. So let's go over PMI. When is it needed and how long will you pay it? So when is it needed? So anytime you get a conventional loan and you do not put down 80%, PMI is, how am I going to say this? It's on your loan. Now, there's two versions of PMI. So you might say, well, Dan, I bought a house and I only put down 10% and I didn't get PMI. Well, there's two versions of PMI. A lot of companies will market. They're saying, our loans, we don't have PMI. Well, they kind of do. And here's how that works. There's what they call borrower paid PMI, and there's lender paid PMI. Okay, so what the borrower paid is, that's the most common that people know about, because when you get your statement and you do go to your closing, and you know, when you go over all the numbers, you're going to see there's a PMI piece in that payment for $85. So that, you know, that you have PMI. So in that loan, you might have had a rate of 4.5 on a 30-year fixed with a PMI of $85. So you say, I don't have PMI and I only put down 10%. Well, here's what happened in most cases. You have what is called lender-paid PMI. So that previous loan, they had a rate at 4.5 and they had $85 in PMI a month. You, however, who do not have the PMI, have a rate at 4.99, but you do not have PMI. Well, you kind of do. That lender is actually taking that excess money that you're paying him and has a PMI policy on the back end that you kind of don't know about, but they're still protected. That's how it works. I, in most cases, do not put clients into the lender paid PMI. And I'll do some analyzation of the loans, but here's why. So the next question is, how long will I have PMI? Okay, well, you didn't put down 20%, so you need PMI. Through an amortization chart or a payment schedule that you have on your mortgage, the mortgage company will see, okay, your value is X and your balance is going down every month. So when that balance hits 78.8% of the value that they're calculating, your insurance will come off. So basically, when you do a loan, we know you're going to have that PMI for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. Now, FHA is a little different, and I'll go over that in a minute. So after 8 years, that PMI is going to come off. Okay. However, it can come off earlier. How? Well, I have a client recently that I just worked on who, she bought the house with a 203K program. It's a rehab program that we have. And she bought it for $80,000. She put $30,000 into it. That her house is now worth $180,000. So we came back and said she only owes like $110,000 on it. So we went back, got the house reappraised, and got her out of the PMI. So here's what you can do. Here's what I suggest you do. If the value of your home, go to some of these sites, Zillow, Redfin, other sites, and find the value of your home. Take it against the balance of your mortgage. If you're at 78%, 78.8% or less, call your mortgage company and ask them to do an analysis of your loan to see if they will drop the PMI. Most cases, they're going to say no. Ask them, well, I would like to have an appraisal done, even if I have to pay for it. They really, I guess they can, you know, refuse you, but, you know, try to go up to a supervisor and request that. I was actually talking to a teller at the bank that I go to, and she was asking me this question just the other day, and I told her exactly what to do, and she's in the process of doing that right now. So that is how you can get out of it, okay? So here's what happens is, here's why I don't put a lot of my clients into the lender paid. So now you have the 4.5% rate on your loan and you have PMI for 8 years. Okay. So after 8 years, that PMI is going away. That $85 is gone now. So your payment just went down $85 and you have a 4.5% rate, but you had PMI for 8 years. That other person is saying, I don't have a PMI. Well, you know what? You have that 4.99 rate for 30 years. In most cases, that's going to cost you more, way more than that the other person who had the 4.5 with the 8-year PMI. So that's kind of how, if you didn't put 20% down, you most likely have some kind of PMI, either borrower paid or lender paid. So that's kind of how that works. Now, on to an FHA loan. So this is a lot of people don't know this as well. When you're getting an FHA loan, no matter what, you need or you're getting PMI on that loan. So you could put down 50% of the value, you know, down payment of 50% or 60%. You still need PMI. It depends on how much you put down, on how long you're going to have that PMI. So if you put down less than 10%, FHA loans only require that you put down 3.5%. So if you only put down 3.5%, you're going to have PMI on your mortgage for as long as you have that mortgage. So you could have it on there for 30 years. If you put down 10% or more, you're going to have it on there for 11 years. Now, that is etched in stone. You cannot call up that lender and say, you know what, I did an analysis of my house, and I'm under the 78.8% that Dan said, so I want an appraisal done because I want to drop my PMI. No, it doesn't work for that. It doesn't work that way on FHA loans. It does work that way on conventional loans. So that is the PMI kind of structure behind things. When you come back, we're going to go over some other scenarios, and then we're also going to go over my thoughts versus Dave Ramsey's thoughts of paying off debt, car loans, student loans, credit cards, anything else you can think of, home repair, paying off debts or doing home repair, or getting cash back or pulling cash out of your home to do some things. And you might be surprised on how mine really does make sense. It might not, you know, follow the Dave Ramsey's thought process, but I'm going to show you how we can accomplish a lot of this stuff and also accomplish the goals that maybe he might have set out for you or that you're trying to follow. So again, I want to thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please give me a call, 630-338-1160. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. God bless. Come right back. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio, and I, of course, am Dan Frio. Thank you for listening. I want to go over the last segment. We were talking about PMI, and it came to my attention. Actually, I was during break. Somebody came up to me and said that they called their lender, and their lender said that they cannot do a new appraisal, cannot do an analysis, that the value that they're going to use to factor in if your PMI can be reduced or not was the original purchase price of that house. That is absolutely 100% wrong. So if you call your lender and you say, you know, my house is now worth $50,000 more than I paid for it, I should be able to get it out of my PMI. And the person you're talking to on the phone gives you any information like that, saying, no, you can't do anything. Sorry, you have it for 10 years or whatever. Ask for a supervisor, please. It could save you, you know, $100 a month for 3 years. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So please do yourself a service. You know, you can request that be done. So just throwing that out there. Okay. So my thought process behind refinancing, it's a kind of a no-brainer, and I hate that phrase. It's kind of a no-brainer to, if you're at 7%, to refinance at 4. I mean, that's obviously. What I try to do in that case too is try to say, you know, do you, one of two things. Are you looking to save money per month, reduce your expenditures, or are you comfortable with what you're paying now? A lot of people are like, well, I'm calling you because I don't like what I'm paying now. Well, there's a reason for that. What we might be able to say is, okay, you have, you know, 23 years left now. If we refinance you, get you a lower rate, you continue to make the same payments, you might be able to refinance into a 13-year loan and save 12 years. So there's reasons why I ask people things, and sometimes I'll preface it by saying, you know, this might sound like a goofy question, but please, you know, amuse me. There's a reason that I'm asking this. So that's an easy process. Or you're refinancing, you're getting the same rate, but you're dropping PMI or things like that. That really, really, really makes sense. Here's the area where most people say, I don't know. You know, I my rate is 4.5% and you're offering me 5 to pay off all these bills. So I really don't want to go up to the 5% range. Okay. Here's what I say about that. And this is where I kind of differ from Dave Ramsey. Let's say, and this happens a lot, somebody calls me and they have $30,000, $40,000 in credit cards, and they have a car loan at a 12% interest rate, and then they have some student loans that they're just killing. It's nickel and diming them to death. So do I propose to them a consolidation loan? Depends. And here's what I mean. Here's the ultimate way that I would structure that loan, okay? And I wrote down some numbers to kind of make this make sense. So the payment that you're paying right now is $1,200 on your mortgage. All of the debt that you have, we're going to say you have $3,500, $35,000 in miscellaneous debt each month. And in most cases, those rates are probably 10 to 20% in interest rates that are not tax deductible. Okay, keep that in mind. So the payments that you're paying on all of that stuff, all of that debt, is $2,600 a month. Okay, so now we say, okay, can we consolidate all this together? In that case, your new mortgage payment is going to be $1,800. Well, you know, a lot of times what people say is, well, Dan, I'm only paying $1,200 now. No. You're paying $1,200 plus $1,400. So in all your debt, you're paying $2,600 a month. Let's leave out how much term you have on these, because a lot of the things, pieces of that puzzle are on those credit cards. Are you making the minimum payment? How long at the minimum payment is it going to take you to pay off those credit cards? If you never use them again, it could take 10, 15, 20 years. Okay. So we pay off all of your debt. We package everything in one big debt load. We put it in one basket. And now your payment is $1,800 versus the $1,200 and the $1,400 that you used to be paying. So you paid $2,600. Now you're paying $1,800. You're cutting your monthly expenses by $800, okay? So the people that don't like this program are going to say exactly this. Well, of course, because now you're pushing all this debt out to a 30-year term. My response is, you betcha. That's exactly what we did, okay? Two pieces of this now that I want to go into detail. That $800 a month might be the difference of you feeding your kids or not. It might be the difference of you having heat on or not. Okay? So that saved that family from a lot of grief or a lot of issues or a lot of financial issues. Okay? However, on the other side of the spectrum, these people were basically doing okay. They just have a tendency to use credit cards and, you know, just live a little outside their means. Okay. So here's what I would propose. Now we say you're saving or you're cutting your monthly expenditures by $800 a month. Let's say we can apply 400 of that 800 savings. We're going to send that in now to the mortgage. So now you still have $400 extra each month. Now everything's lumped into one. You're going to skip one or two mortgage payments or payments as well on all this stuff. So that'll help you out quite a bit. You know what? Now I got all my ducks in a row. Now I can start putting a little bit of money aside. So here's what we would do in that scenario. We're going to actually pay or send in an extra $400 a month on the mortgage. And then that other $400, you could do what you want with it. But what you might want to do is put $100, $200, $300 into a savings account for a rainy day. For so you don't have to. Maybe that'll be the difference of you not having to charge anymore. So now we restructured everything into one bucket. We're paying an extra $400 a month. What does that do for us? Well, I did the numbers on a $160,000 loan at 5% on a 30-year term. Paying an extra $400 a month would pay off your loan 14 years early. So it would save you 16 years. Well, it would make your loan a 16-year term, basically. So let's go back to those credit cards. You're making the minimum payments because you can't afford anymore. How long is it going to take you to pay off those credit cards? In most cases, it's going to take you 15 to 20 years. So did this hurt you? Okay, let's go through this scenario. We lumped everything into one payment, reduced your payments $800 a month. Well, let's take that back because we're going to send in an extra $400. We reduced your monthly expenses by $400 a month. Now, everything that you're paying in interest is also tax deductible. So that savings might give you an extra refund each month of each year of maybe a couple thousand bucks. When you get that refund, why don't you apply it to the mortgage? Now you just cut that mortgage another 2-3 years. So now you're paying off your house even that much earlier. Or we put it in that savings account that we've been saving up each month. So did we really make you go backwards? No. I don't want to put you in any more debt. I'm restructuring your debt to make sense. One, credit cards. Look at your credit cards. Guarantee. Unless you have the 0%, you keep flipping around and doing all that stuff. If you are, God bless you, you have the patience and you have the wherewithal to do that. But check out your interest rate on your credit cards. It's probably in the teens, if not in the 20s. You're making the minimum payment. Do a calculation, and you can go to any website you want and put it in and say, I owe this. I'm making this amount of payment. This is the interest rate. How long is it going to be until I pay that off? Don't be surprised if that number comes back at 10, 15, 20 years. So now we restructured everything and we're putting you on the same pay plan, but we just reduced your monthly expenditures by $800 or $400. So that's my difference in the me versus the Dave Ramsey thought. My goal isn't to put you into any more debt, just to restructure that debt. And the next thing I want to go over real quickly is home equity loans. If you have a home equity loan, please look to do something about it, especially if there's a sizable balance on there. If it's $5,000 or something and you just use it odds and ends, it's a cool thing to have as a backup. But if you have a home equity loan and you owe a lot of money on it, let's go through some of the criteria of a home equity loan that you might not have known. Some of these you will know, some of these you won't. Most of them are 10 years terms. After 10 years, they can do one of two things. They can readjust, and the readjustments always works out in the bank's favor, or they can balloon, meaning you're going to get a statement saying you owe us $50,000 and now you're at the mercy of, now what do I do? Secondly, I would assume that your home equity loan is, because in nature they all are, an adjustable rate. Well, the Fed has raised rates this year multiple times. You didn't initially see that because your home equity loan probably adjusts once a year or once every 6 months. So next year, don't be surprised your interest rate's going up, which then in turn, your payments are going up. So that's what I would highly suggest you do. If you have a home equity loan, look to get it into a fixed term, lump the two mortgages together and kind of look at something like that. So I hope you really got something out of today's show. If I could be any help to you, please call me at 630-338-1160. Check me out on the web at 1160mortgage.com. God bless you. Please stay tuned tomorrow night. We'll be back.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.